live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akilah Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Agriculture Minister is coming under further pressure for failing to address what's been described as a growing crisis affecting the beef sector. The Director of Roads with Donegal County Council says traffic delays in Letterkenny at this time are inevitable. The importance of the N56 as a transport hub in Donegal has been highlighted by a local deputy after it was confirmed that further improvement works will go to tender this year. And Irish Water has suspended drilling operations in Loch Foyle following contact from the Lochs Agency's Director of Conservation and Protection. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the government is being urged to start planning for the possibility of a united Ireland. The Taoiseach has dismissed calls for a border poll, but Sinn Féin wants one to take place if there's a no deal. Stephen Murphy reports.
The Taoiseach addressed a number of issues during his trip to Belfast over the last few days, and unsurprisingly, calls for a border poll were among them. At an event last night, Leo Varadkar says now is not the time to push for a united Ireland. The DUP's Gregory Campbell agrees.
I don't think now is the right time, whether there's a no-deal Brexit or not. I think it would lead to massively increased tension with no prospect of a united Ireland outcome.
But Sinn Féin says a no-deal Brexit would be a game-changer and that people should get to have their say. The party's David Cullinan thinks the government is afraid of a proper debate on the issue.
We have to go beyond just taking part in panel discussions and actually start planning for what a united Ireland would look like, and that's the best way to convince people.
The Taoiseach has raised concerns any debate on the issue could be divisive. He also believes that a united Ireland would see a different state and new constitution being needed.
The Agriculture Minister is coming under further pressure for failing to address what's been described as a growing crisis affecting the beef sector. Donegal Deputy Charlie McConlogue was speaking as farmers continue to maintain a 24-hour presence at a meat processing facilities across the country, including in Donegal. The Fianna Fáil spokesperson on agriculture has accused Minister Michael Creed of watching from the sidelines as the crisis escalates. Deputy McConlogue, who met with protesters last night outside the Carrigan's meat factory, believes the minister has a central role to play.
Minister Creed has stood back as the situation has deteriorated by the day, when it is his role to provide leadership and to actually lead the beef sector. And he needs to do that now by actually meeting with the farmer representative organisations and the meat processors to deal with the many very legitimate questions that they are seeking answers for. And also then in relation to the issue, the key issue of price, which he can't directly become involved in, he needs to immediately appoint a mediator to actually bring both sides to the table to actually discuss and engage and try and find a way where farmers actually get a better deal and from meat factories and where the current crisis can be addressed.
Now, as you say, he has no role to play in terms of the price of beef, etc. But what you're really saying is here he could be in a position, or he is in a position, to initiate a lot of talks to bring this to an end effectively.
Absolutely. The minister doesn't set the price, but he is the leader of the Irish agriculture sector. He is the person that the beef sector needs to show leadership at the moment in particular as well. And he can play a very important role here in relation to, first of all, bringing both sides together, farmers and meat processors, to deal with many of the issues which are not price-related, which farmers have, and to seek that they be addressed, but particularly as well then to put in place a mechanism whereby farmers and the meat processing sector come together to engage in relation to price and the farmers' demand for a fair margin in relation to the hard work they carry out.
Meanwhile, Beef Plan Movement Joint Chairman Hugh Doyle says many farmers are unclear if they still have a future in the industry.
The poor old beef farmer is being the sacrificial lamb, being nailed to the cross. He's the guy that's going to take the hit for the environment. He's the guy that's going to take the hit so that we can increase sales into Europe. I mean, it's we feel like we're being bullied off the land.
The Director of Roads with Donegal County Council says traffic delays in Letterkenny at this time are inevitable, following reports of some motorists breaking the red light at roadworks near the Old Dunn stores in the town yesterday. Gardaí are warning that those who don't obey traffic lights will be dealt with accordingly. John McLaughlin is also appealing to motorists to heed the traffic signalling in the area in a bid to manage delays as best as possible.
It's a very, very restricted width there. The difficulty is we can't have the machines working and two-way traffic alongside them, so that very small junction is controlled by four sets of traffic lights. Only one set of cars can go at one time, and the space is just very, very limited. Normally the first day or two, the people operating those systems get refined after the first day or two. Although what I will say, when there's big traffic flows, it's very difficult. You only can share it out one lane at a time, so there will be delays, but it's a matter of optimising that. And I suppose people getting used maybe of trying to find alternative routes and avoiding it, the area at the busy times. We would appeal, first of all, that people do follow the lights and not to break them. It's difficult, but it will pass. And another few weeks and that'll be through. The guards are working with us closely as well, trying to have people follow the rules and obey the lights. And that's the main thing people can do. There are lots of discussions over the Irish Water Work in Letterkenny before and after and during. Huge difficulty in pleasing everyone. Work has to take place. People know there'll be disruption, but then when you finally see it and the effects are very immediate for individuals, a lot of conversation around that, and the Gardaí are very helpful as well in all those. So there's a lot of consultation, but it doesn't take away from the fact there will be disruption, and when people see that, they get quite annoyed at times.
Meanwhile, local councillor Jimmy Kavanagh says while he appreciates the vast amount of roadworks taking place in the town, they are necessary and motorists need to maintain patience.
We fully appreciate how frustrating it is for people, and they're having unexpected delays and so on. And I believe, you know, there was a big delay yesterday getting out of Old Dunn's, etc. But at the same time, it's not improving anything by skipping lights. And first of all, people are breaking the law. Secondly, there's a risk that they're going to cause a collision there. And that's only going to delay things further. So I would just ask people to be patient and obey the lights and obey the law. And the work that's going on here is very, very necessary work. It's for the overall good of the area and the town in the long term. It's only going to be for a short term, so, you know, I just ask people to be patient and go with it and obey the law, and that's the best chance of people getting away as quickly as possible.
And we know that these lights that were erected at the Old Dunn's are only the latest in a number of different lights as part of roadworks in the town, but as you have already touched on, they are necessary and it is a means to an end effectively.
Yeah, Catherine, that's it. And, you know, in different areas of the town, we've had these complaints over the last number of months, you know, as the work moves around the town. But in my experience of it, particularly living here in Circular Road, people got used to it very, very quickly and came to terms with it very, very quickly and got on with things, you know. So if you have appointments and so on, you know, give yourself a bit of extra time. There's absolutely no point in going out and getting yourself into trouble, either by having a collision or by getting into trouble with the Gardaí. So that's only going to lead to further frustration for motorists. So the best thing is to go with it, and, you know, people will get used to it after a short time.
Irish Water has suspended drilling operations in Loch Foyle following contact from the Lochs Agency's Director of Conservation and Protection. In a letter to Enda Craig of the Campaign for a Clean Estuary, John McCartney confirms he raised concerns about oyster breeding in July and August on the Foyle and the potential for impact from drilling operations. He also highlighted that concerns have been raised by political representatives, fishermen and others on issues with this operation. He says Irish Water have assured him that the drilling operation will be suspended until they have had an opportunity to evaluate concerns raised. The drilling is being done as part of a geophysical survey ahead of a planning application for the Moville Greencastle Surge Scheme. Enda Craig says it's a timely intervention, particularly as it's the first time local fishermen have become involved in the debate.
The fishermen have never had the opportunity to sit down at a table and outline the importance of this particular fishery at this particular point. We were always led to believe that was a dead area out there. It wasn't of no great value to the fishermen. Finally, the fishermen came up and we had a massive meeting with them, and they outlined, in fact, I sent on a graphic showing what they outlined to us, and it is quite amazing, the fishery that's out there. I don't know, they're going to have some difficulty persuading fishermen that this is the right place to put a pipe like that. I think this is only the beginning of an interesting phase.
Drilling has been suspended for a period. Is it still in the decision of Irish Water to determine when they can start again, or is there any way they can be blocked? It appears from what the Lux Agency is saying, this is a matter of a courtesy decision as such on the part of Irish Water. They could start this again next week.
It's more than a courtesy, Donal, in this sense. Now a new intervention has been made, which has never happened before. The fishermen are going to put their concerns on the table, and they're going to outline in great detail how important this particular fishery is, and the detriment and the harm and the damage that this pipe and this this outfall could do to it and this discharge. This is something that, quite honestly, has never been on the table before, but it's on there now, and it's entirely up to Irish Water to convince the fishermen of the locality that this is in their benefit, and it will not affect their very, very precious and important fishery. Now, that's going to be an interesting conversation.
The Taoiseach will apologise to the woman impacted by the failures of the cervical check programme when the Dáil returns from its summer recess. Leo Varadkar and Health Minister Simon Harris met with members of the 221 Plus support group earlier, where a number of issues were discussed. Niall Colbert has more.
Stephen Teep and Lorraine Walsh represented the 221 Plus group at the meeting earlier. They say a full apology is only possible with a full understanding of what the state was and is responsible for. They say a new dialogue, which is now more properly and fully informed, has begun. The group hopes an apology will begin a healing process for all those impacted negatively by what they say is the cervical check debacle. They believe Taoiseach Leo Varadkar and Minister Simon Harris approached today's discussions in a positive and constructive manner. Minister Simon Harris described today's meeting as very useful and says the government will continue to engage with patient advocates going forward.
The importance of the N56 as a transport hub in Donegal has been highlighted by a local deputy after it was confirmed that further improvement works will go to tender this year. Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher says he's been told that the sections from Dunlow, Clockboyle and Letcher Illy to Kilrain Junction will go to tender in the third quarter of this year. Meanwhile, a contractor has been appointed for the Frosses Crossroads to Inverbridge section, with works commencing in late autumn. Deputy Gallagher says this will complete a 16 million stretch and underlines the importance of the route to the whole of Donegal.
As of now, the works will always be completed in the next number of months between Clawfully, Letcher, McAward, through Maas to Letcher Illy. And of course, I'm pleased that the TII will invite tenders for the continuation of that road towards Glenties. And prior to that, where the works all started at Clawfully, they will invite tenders by the third quarter of this year to carry out major works back towards Dunlow. And in addition to that, of course, another very important element of the N56 is the continuation of the road from Mount Charles to Frosses Crossroads to Inverbridge, and eventually we would hope into Killybegs. What's important about all of this is that monies are being provided every year for these very necessary works, and we must remember, of course, that the N56 is a road that leaves Donegal town right around the coast into the mountaintop in Letterkenny. Vitally important road for the economic development of the county.
And given the fact that we're seeing more money coming in to Killybegs in terms of extending the port, we're looking at other developments along that route, to have that strong road transport route, to have those transport links, especially in the absence of other facilities like rail, is really important.
Well, of course, this is the one big advantage we have in being able to secure money for these roads, and indeed for Donegal Airport, when we point to the fact that we don't have a motorway and that we don't have a railway.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, with the latest arrivals of men's, women's and kids' clothing from leading sports labels like Nike, Adidas and Under Armour.
It's almost 16 minutes past five, and time to latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with Gaelic Games. Michael Murphy has been named as the Football GAA GPA Player of the Month for July. The Donegal captain was hugely influential during the Super 8s for the Ulster champions. He starred in the win over Meath. The draw with Kerry and Croke Park, where he scored 1-7 and pulled Donegal back into contention in Castlebar last weekend. Unfortunately, Donegal made their exit from the championship at the hands of Mayo. Cork's Patrick Horgan was named the Hurler of the Month for July. Tyrone faced Kerry in the All-Ireland semi-final on Sunday at Croke Park, continuing their hunt for a return to the All-Ireland final. The O'Neill County were pipped at the post by Dublin in last year's decider. Having lost to Donegal in the Ulster Championship, Tyrone have built momentum through the qualifiers and Super 8s. So are they a better team than last year? Here's manager Mickey Hart.
We would like to think we are, but often you can't tell that for sure. Do you see, where does your results bring you? If our results bring us to the final, then we probably would have some substance in saying we're a year older, a year more experienced, and a better team. But the jury's still out on whether you could be definitive about that or not.
And I suppose the target always was, after being beaten finalists last year, was to get back to Croke Park on the first Sunday in September again this year.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we got a lot of experience last year, some good and some bad, but at least the experience of that occasion, where none of our players, other than probably Colin Kavanagh, had that experience before. So I think it's good for those players to get that experience of an All-Ireland final day. That experience isn't much use to you if you don't get back to put it to use. So it's so, so important to try and get back there as fast as possible. This is the first opportunity to get back. We'd love to be able to avail of that.
Do you think that gives you a slight edge over Kerry?
Not so much in that context, because Kerry are, you know, no stranger to Croke Park anyway. And their minors have been there for 5 years winning All-Irelands. And they were in the league final as well. So they're comfortable there. So I don't think they'll be anyway in awe of the idea of an All-Ireland semi-final.
And are you happy that you're ready?
Oh yeah, I'm very happy that we're ready. I mean, we had a really competitive season. Our players have, thank God, have stayed relatively injury free, and long may it remain that way.
And you can hear more from Tro manager Mickey Hart in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. And all the Gaelic Games news, Paul Taylor will continue as Sligo football manager for a second year. He's been unanimously ratified to lead the Yates County through 2020. One game tonight, the Donegal All County League. It's in Division 1, sees Gidor against Glen Swillish, due to throw in at 7:30 this evening. Pat Hoban says that Dundalk have done all their homework on a Slovan Bratislava. The sides meet in the third qualifying round of the Europa League this evening, 7 days after the Lilywhites Champions League exit. Despite the quick turnaround, Hoban insists they'll be ready for the game in Slovakia.
We always have every detail possible given to us, and it's a lot of information to take in, but you know, it's worthwhile. And you know, on the way home from the plane from Baku, you know, the coaching staff are watching Bratislava straight away. So yeah, you know, we get a lot of information given to us, but you know, you just have to take it all in and make sure you prepare well for these kind of games.
Kickoff is at 7:15 to that one tonight at the earlier time of 7. Celtic are in action. Winger James Forrest says they're desperate to reach the group stages of the Champions League after missing out last season. The Scottish title holders will face Cluj of Romania in the first leg of the third qualifying round tie tonight. Forrest believes it's vital they get a positive result away from home.
Yeah, I think we'll go over there and we'll hopefully make it tight, and yeah, we'll obviously look to score as well, because that way goal could be important. And then as I said, if we bring back to Celtic Park a positive result, that's what we'll be looking for.
Wilfred Zaha has reportedly handed on a transfer request as he seeks a move away from Crystal Palace. Everton and Arsenal have also had bids rejected this summer. James McCarthy is almost certain to join Palace from Everton for a fee of around £8 million. David Luiz is trying to force through a move to Arsenal. The Brazilian defender reportedly refused to train with Chelsea this morning. While Watford have signed free agent Danny Welbeck, the former England forward, was released by Arsenal at the end of the season. Transfer day, of course, or transfer deadline day, is tomorrow. Finn Harps under-19s, well, after a couple of weeks without a game, they're back in action tonight against Northwest rivals Sligo Rovers in Ballybuffet. Starts at 7:45. It will be the first of two league games against the Bitter Red in the space off at 4 days. Donegal Youth League, there's one game tonight. Drumkeen are playing Milford, kicks off 7:30. While in snooker, Mark Allen is through to the quarterfinals of the China Open. He beat Ali Carter 6-2 this afternoon to set up a last eight meeting with Ding Zhiwei. Don't forget, Tom Comack will have the GA program later on tonight. Usual throw-in time on a Wednesday is at 8:30. And I'll be back tomorrow morning with the next bulletin after 8, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, police in Malaysia say they have searched a 6-kilometre area as part of the search for an Irish teenager. 15-year-old Nora Quarren, who has special needs, disappeared on Sunday from the house she was staying in with her family. Forensic teams are also analysing fingerprints found in a cottage at an eco-holiday resort nearby. The deputy police chief for the area says they haven't ruled anything out.
We are conducting the investigation on all aspects. Is classified as missing person, but we haven't ruled out any possibility of any case. We are conducting a big scale of investigation.
A grant of more than €77,500 has been approved for Downing's GAA club. The money is to go towards improvement works to the local clubhouse. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The grant announced by Junior Gaelic Minister Sean Kine includes almost €71,000 for works to the clubhouse and an additional sum of €6,500 to help with fire safety measures and specialist fire retardant paint finish. In a statement, Minister Joe McHugh said this additional support for Downing's GAA club is important to make sure the works at the clubhouse are of a high standard. It's hoped the money will also build on the success of summer last year when the club was the host of Comórtas Pelinn na Gaeltachta, with clubs from all over the country bringing players, families and supporters into North Donegal. Concluding, Minister McHugh said he'd like to see the club work with the local language planning team and Caoimh Áinéir to ensure language is at the core of the club's events and activities.
And finally, people are being urged to have their say in the Donegal County Council draft Climate Change Adaptation Strategy 2019-2024. The closing date for submissions is Tuesday, September the 3rd. Sean O'Regan reports.
The draft Climate Change Adaptation Strategy sets out how the Council will lead the journey to a climate-ready Donegal and work to reduce exposure to climate risks and capture new opportunities. The draft strategy includes a range of actions across four operational themes: critical infrastructure and buildings, natural and cultural capital, water resources and flood management, and community services. The Donegal County Council draft Climate Change Adaptation Strategy, the Strategic Environmental Assessment Screening Report and Appropriate Assessment Screening Report are available for inspection during normal office opening hours at public service centres across the county and in all libraries. Submissions can be made either by email to climatereadydonegal@donegalcountycouncil.ie or post a hard copy addressed to Climate Adaptation Strategy, County House, The Diamond, Lifford, County Donegal. The closing date for receipt of submissions is Tuesday, September 3rd at 4:30.
Weather now, sunny spells and showers for the rest of the evening, some heavy and thundery. Overnight showers will become isolated and it will be mostly dry with good clear spells. Lowest temperatures of around 9 to 11 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the Agriculture Minister is coming under further pressure for failing to address what's been described as a growing crisis affecting the beef sector. Donegal Deputy Charlie McConlogue was speaking as farmers continue to maintain a 24-hour presence at meat processing facilities across the country, including in Donegal. The Director of Roads with Donegal County Council says traffic delays in Letterkenny at this time are inevitable. Following reports of some motorists breaking the red light at roadworks near the Old Dunn stores in the town yesterday, Gardaí are warning that those who don't obey traffic lights will be dealt with accordingly. Meanwhile, the importance of the N56 as a transport hub in Donegal has been highlighted by a local deputy after it was confirmed that further improvement works will go to tender this year. And Irish Water has suspended drilling operations in Lough Foyle following contact from the Lochs Agency's Director of Conservation and Protection. In a letter to Enda Craig of the Campaign for a Clean Estuary, John McCartney confirms he raised concerns about oyster breeding in July and August on the Foyle and the potential for impact from drilling operations. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Wednesday evening, August the 7th. The death has taken place of Johnny Dugra, Glen Ira, Carrigard. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Friday, going to the Church of St John the Baptist for Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Mary Morgan, née Ring, Morgan's Shop at Port New. Her remains will be reposing at Chauvelin's funeral home from tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, followed by removal at 6:30 to St Connell's Church, Kilcluny, arriving at 7 o'clock. Funeral mass on Friday morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private, please. The death has taken place of Edward McFadden, 149 Creef Smith, Old Town, Letterkenny. Remains reposing at his residence until Saturday morning. Removal from his late residence on Saturday morning at 10:25 to St Eunan's Cathedral for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock and interment afterwards in New Leck Cemetery in the family plot. The death has occurred at Patsy Doherty, 2 Kalita Road, Castlederg. Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock on Friday morning in St Patrick's Church, Castlederg, interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The house is private, please. The death has taken place of Bridget Doherty, Creevy, Carrigart. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Fiona from there on Friday morning going to the Church of St John the Baptist, Carrigart, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. House strictly private at the request of the deceased. Family flowers only, please. Donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Vincent Boyle, 3 Greenfield Convoy and formerly of Lifford. His remains are reposing at his residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Mass in St Mary's Church Convoy at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the family plot at St Mary's Old Cemetery Convoy. Family time from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Medical 4, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Gibson Funeral Director. And the death has occurred of Lorna Larkin, Creve Smith, Letterkenny. Lorna's remains are reposing at her home at Creve Smith, Letterkenny. Funeral from there tomorrow morning, going to St Junius Cathedral for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock, followed by cremation in Lakelands Crematorium, Cavan at 2:30. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral.